a peaceful transition of power. Our veterans.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israel says its fighter jets have begun attacking Hamas targets in Gaza after rockets were fired into Israel, ending the seven-day-long truce. The BBC's Hugo Bachega says Israel is under pressure to change its tactics.
What the Americans have been saying is that the Israelis cannot repeat the same strategy in the south, the strategy that they applied in the north of the Gaza Strip, where most of the offensive has now been concentrated up until now. And we've seen images of the widespread destruction, entire neighborhoods completely destroyed in Gaza, and around 14,000 Palestinians killed.
And residents say Israel has now dropped leaflets urging them to leave parts of southern Gaza, signaling a widening offensive. This could be the last day in office for Republican Congressman George Santos, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
Santos would be only the sixth person ever to be expelled from the U.S. House, but for that to happen, it's not a majority, but two-thirds of those voting who'd have to vote to do so.
In a televised debate on the Fox News Channel, Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis told California's Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom criminals are in charge in his state.
In a lot of these places in California, everything's under lock and key because they basically legalized retail theft. They have chosen in California to put the interests of the criminals over public safety.
Newsom said DeSantis says he supports police, but his actions say something different.
I love this guy talking about backing the blue when you dangled pardons for January 6 insurrectionists, 85 of them that were charged with attacking law enforcement.
We've learned more about a major overdose incident that took place at a home in Battle Creek, Michigan on Thanksgiving. At least 10 people were saved. Health officials say they'd taken cocaine that was unbeknownst to them, laced with an opioid like fentanyl. A new study says the U.S. is unprepared to house and care for its growing number of elderly people.
The Harvard report says without increased government assistance, many older adults will have to forego care or rely on family and friends for help, and homeless numbers could spike. Over the next 10 years, the population over the age of 75 is forecast to increase by 45%, growing from 17 million to nearly 25 million. And many of those people are expected to struggle financially. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Portuguese soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo has been hit with a lawsuit for his role in promoting cryptocurrency-related non-fungible tokens, or NFTs. The suit says his statements about the NFTs were deceptive and unlawful and caused people to make costly investments. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A group of seven unions is filing a lawsuit to end the state's near-total ban on collective bargaining for public employees. The lawsuit was filed in a Dane County court on Thursday. The unions argue that Act 10 led to lower pay, staffing shortages, and poor working conditions. They say that because police and firefighters are able to collectively bargain, but teachers are not, Act 10 violates the state's constitution. Meanwhile, Wisconsin teacher pay isn't keeping up with inflation. A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that median pay for teachers in the state is 12% less than in 2009, adjusted for inflation. Teachers in Wisconsin's largest school districts got raises this year. It still doesn't appear to be enough to keep up with the cost of living. The median wage for teachers in Wisconsin is $59,000. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Brewers offering a player a record deal. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It could be the largest contract for a prospect who's never played an inning yet in the big leagues. An 8-year deal worth $80 million guaranteed to prospect Jackson Chirio, a center fielder who batted 379 in the minors. He's only 19 years old. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament continues. In the UW Fieldhouse in Madison, Wisconsin easily beat Jackson State in three sets. They advance tonight against the University of Miami. NBA, the Bucks lost last night in overtime to the Bulls. The final 120-113 in Chicago. The Bulls improved to 6-14. Milwaukee now 13-6. Head coach Adrian Griffin says the Bucks continue to struggle getting rebounds.
Rebounding is technique, is fundamentals, is turning and checking. Thought we lost side of our man a couple times, and they just played with more energy and effort on the glass.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 33. Today, under cloudy skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's Seth here, host of Seth Faces the Music, which totally makes sense. It's on every Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR. Each week, I pick a theme and play a bunch of songs related to that theme. And this week, I'm doing songs about only the lonely. So join me, won't you? And we'll face the music together.
Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide, the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Here we are live on location at the Tap in Chippewa Valley. In Chippewa Falls, right outside the window, along with our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, and back at the home studio at the world headquarters in Madison High atop State Street, Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. As per usual, we are here with you on this 30th of November, a Thursday, 2023.
Oh, wait, no, I'm normally here Wednesdays.
Normally here Wednesday, yeah. but no. You know what today is?
Thursday?
good guess. Okay. Now she's listening live because she does occasionally over her lunch hour. My wonderful sister is a teacher in the Eau Claire School District. And sometimes she listens to us live, sometimes the podcast. So if she's listening live, we're wishing her a very happy 50th birthday.
Who is this mystery person?
Heather Allball Galloy.
Happy birthday, Heather.
Yeah. Oh. Right? Very nice, Mr. Zommers. Yeah.
So you came up here to the beautiful Chippewa Valley to wish a happy birthday to your sister.
I did. And I stopped at Richland Center, picked up Mom. And so she does not know this unless she's listening now. And then,
I'm not
well,
seeing Mom.
You want to know why she's down the street. No, not really.
She's across the way at the Mason Shoe Outlet.
Right. No, she's back. She's back in my sister and brother-in-law's house. And so if they come home for lunch, there's Mom with the dog.
That text on your phone there says, I'm three deep at the Liney Lodge. Come get me. All right.
No, so we're going to try to surprise her. But if she's listening, now she knows. But yes, we decided to come up with kind of a spur of the moment thing. And then I called Mr. Kreitlow as I was south of Eau Claire. And I said, well, I don't want to be rude and be in the neighborhood and not call. And you were so kind enough to pop over
like,
to Lake Wissota.
Shoot, he's got nothing better to do. He's going to come down here anyway. So yeah. As somebody who normally does not get out of the house much, I traded in pajamas for these and decided to get some fresh air.
It's great to have you here.
It's nice to be here. I'd like to be here more often. We're going to finish the studio one of these days, and you're going to see me in downtown Chippewa a lot more often.
Wouldn't it be great to see the sun rising out these beautiful windows here every morning?
Yes, we're above the old Kinsella Drug here on Bridge Street and Grand Avenue, busiest intersection downtown Chippewa Falls. And, you know, as the Civic Media Radio empire continues to grow, this will eventually be a furnished studio and a force of nature.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So thanks. It's always, you know, I know you probably heard this when you were a legislator. It's an old saying, but it's so true. It's great to get out of Madison and out in the state, and you meet people from all over. And it just it makes you realize how good things really are. Despite some of the news that we report on our programs, there's so much good going on and so many great folks.
How many times we've said that, though, is that, you know, despite the news, despite the divisions that are out there in the world, that as a legislator or somebody who works with public officials, when you can get out and about and talk to regular folks, you realize that in their day-to-day lives, that yes, they have issues, they have anxieties, but they are also, you know, there are all these wonderful moments of good conversation. And that's what we need more of here. So I'm thankful that you're willing to pack up the portable studio here in a couple of banker's boxes, a card right. table, and show up at places like this all over the state. So it's nice to have you here.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, great to be here. Thanks for joining us, Pat. And yeah, we're here today and then back down in Southwest Wisconsin, WRCE tomorrow, and then back down to Madison next week. So
you're not just here to try to raise my blood pressure again like 24 hours ago?
Well, speaking of that, and Mr. Kreitler sent out a tweet yesterday, which was rightly deserved. And he's like, look, Allball told me about this story literally 8 seconds.
8 seconds before we go on. He reads the email from Jay Rothman and gets a real-time reaction.
And the thing was, I literally, as I was walking, I got some water. I was walking back into the studio to go on with you and Trygve Olsen, who join us every Wednesday. And I look at my phone. I use Twitter for an aggregation of legit news sources. Sure. And one of those is the great student paper at UW-Madison, one of two, the Daily Cardinal. And I saw this story, and I just skimmed it, and I read the first couple. I'm like, holy crap. And so I said, you guys, I was going to do something else. We're leading with this.
Todd, don't you know the Daily Cardinal? It's just it's a rag. It just misappropriates and mischaracterizes everything, and there's nothing to trust about them. So said Jay Rothman about the story about his email that they quoted accurately.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, in case you missed it yesterday, I want to just fill you in very quickly here. So the Daily Cardinal, and an exclusive, and great reporter, Liam Barron, who is going to join us tomorrow in the 1:30 hour from our Madison studio. I'll be in Richland Center, but he'll be joining us via StreamYard. So this reporter, Liam Barron, is going to join us. He broke this story in which he obtained an email. And it was a reply to Maria Gallo, who is, I'm not sure if she's the chancellor at River Falls, but she is one of the top officials at UW River Falls. And Jay Rothman, the president of the UW system, was responding to, apparently they had had some sort of a meeting and looked at some report from another university. And he replies back and basically says, look, you don't have to spend too much time on this. He says, quote, I appreciate there are more demands of your time now than there are hours in the day. It's not my intent to add another burden to you. I just thought the report provided some interesting learnings, so I wanted to make sure the chancellors had access to it. Some of the, quote, lessons, unquote, I took from the report are as follows. And he goes on to list 16 different things that were his takeaways right. from whatever. And I take this, Pat, correct me if I'm wrong, these aren't necessarily direct things out of this report, although they could have been. But this appears, keyword appears, to be written in Jay Rothman's hand of things that he took away from this report. Is that accurate?
And whatever his interpretations were from that report, again, those are his words that he shared. They were not directives, but they also, the words did not come, you know, they weren't cut from whole cloth. He puts in, you know, words like consider doing this, whereas if it was something he did not agree with doing, he would have either said so or would not have included it in the report. That is a very fair assumption to make. Now, in his response on Twitter, his statement, he goes on about this was a mischaracterization from the headline on down. But it's so lacking. It's lacking in, well, what did you mean by some of these things then? So either he needs to provide much more heft and context to his statement, or better yet, take questions, maybe from one Todd Alba.
That would be great. Yeah. That would be fantastic. Again, for the audience who might not have joined us yesterday, this is the part that really got the ire of the Daily Cardinal and myself included. This is a direct quote from this email. Quote, consider shifting away from liberal arts programs to programs that are more career specific, particularly if the institution serves a large number of low income students. Make the painful cuts and adjustments at one time, and then move on. Before I finish, or before I let Pat again weigh in here, I want to just be fair. In further down in this email, when he's replying to the administrator at UW River Falls, he says, quote, the foregoing are some of the points that resonated with me. I appreciate that some will have no applicability to our situation or imply actions that we may not be prepared to take. but they are nonetheless instructive, unquote. Pat, you were a former legislator. I worked as a legislative aide both for a state senator and a congressman for 20 plus years. I also worked for an attorney. I'm not an attorney, but I worked in an attorney's office. That line to me seems to be, in my opinion, boilerplate language for any legislator or attorney to give them an out.
Yeah, exactly. It's wiggle room, and deservedly so. That's what you should put in there. But what you can't do then is completely disavow, you know, the words that you wrote in that email, or at least if they're called into question, and they're certainly being called into question right now, then you should really feel obligated to tell us a bit more. Now, in his statement yesterday, he did talk about his admiration for the liberal arts, and that's fine. That's, again, that's expected from somebody in his position to say. It's just that it was that connection between steer people away from liberal arts if they're at campuses with a lot of lower income students. It's just why that?
Why would you put that?
If he gleaned that from the report, I want to know so much more about this report. Yeah. Now, who wrote it? What did it say? How is it applicable? Basically, because that email's out there, you basically at this point have to share it all. What's the report? Yeah. What's your full spin on it? That's what I think people deserve to know.
Here's what President of the UW System, Jay Rothman, tweeted yesterday, quote, "Let me be crystal clear. I have not asked our universities to move away from liberal arts programs. I have repeatedly stated that the liberal arts develop critical thinking and problem-solving skills vital to a knowledge economy and to winning the war for talent." He goes on in another tweet, quote, "I am a product of the liberal arts, and I am deeply disappointed by the mischaracterization of my communication with chancellors by the Daily Cardinal, both in its egregiously false headline and the framing of the story." Pat, you're not only a former legislator, you're a journalist as well by education and by trade for many years here in the Chippewa Valley. As a journalist, do you feel this piece is misleading?
No, it's not misleading, but you could call it incomplete, but I don't think it's right to call it a mischaracterization. It just makes you look like you're, you know, blaming the media for the sake of blaming the media. Again, that might be a snapshot reaction, but it's already long past time to provide some more detail on this and not just attack the press.
The editor of the Daily Cardinal, Tyler Katzenberger, tweeted this out. He says, quote, "The Daily Cardinal asked a UW System spokesperson for an interview for this story multiple times. They declined. I firmly stand behind our reporting, which included a full copy of the email from Rothman. You can read it here." He goes on to say, also of note, UW System has not reached out about the article since it was published Wednesday morning. They have not requested a correction. Oh, and one last note, follow Liam Barron. He just broke the story, and he's a damn good journalist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, give credit where credit is due. If they knew about it, they knew about it ahead of time. They were asked for interviews. They've had ample time to say more than that far too brief reaction and inadequate reaction, frankly, from Jay Rothman.
Yeah. Mr. Zalmers, you have something?
And yeah, definitely do check out Liam Barron's other work. I looked into other articles he's written for the Daily Cardinal. And if this is an issue you care about, definitely follow him because he's done multiple articles on this. I can imagine we will probably be talking to him more than once on this show going forward.
Yeah, I can't wait to have him on the show tomorrow. Again, Liam Barron, who broke this story on the UW System, President Jay Rothman, will join us live tomorrow at 1:30 right here on this show. We're going to continue to stay on it. Again, the Wisconsin idea is something critically important to us at this show. I know, Pat, you've spoken about it as well. We're both a product of UW System education.
Proudly so.
Welcome back. More with Pat Greitler. We are live on location at Chippewa Falls at the Tap on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What's going on, Wisconsin? It's Kristen Bry checking in to say hi and let you know, all things considered, my maternity leave's going great. Thank you for tuning in to As Goes Wisconsin on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app while I'm gone. Can't wait to be back to share mommy stories and get back to breaking down the never boring Wisconsin news cycle.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tahlo Ball Show, live on location at the TAP, WCFW, here in Chippewa Falls, in Eau Claire, 93.5 FM, along with our colleague and friend, the host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8 across Civic Media, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. I learned how to say Chippewa Falls correctly years ago.
Yes.
And you may get a kick out of this. Maybe you'll just find it ridiculous. Back in 2004, when George W. Bush was running for re-election, he was coming through town.
Right.
And my former boss, Dale Schultz, was running for Congress at the time against Ron Kind.
Right.
And he was going to give one of the introductory speeches. And so I was running the speech by my sister, who's lived here now 25-ish years. And she goes, make sure he says it right. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, it's not Chippewa, it's Chippewa.
That's right. Basically, the E is silent in there. C-H-I-P-P-W-A. Chippewa.
Chippewa, yeah.
Yeah.
So there, thanks. My sister is celebrating her 50th birthday, and she gave me that gift years ago, how to pronounce Chippewa. Little did I know that I would one day be broadcasting.
And
from
here you are.
In beautiful Chippewa Falls. Oh,
it's amazing how fate can be so unkind to you.
No, I love it here.
You should.
It's a beautiful, great. If you've never been here, for our listeners across the state, if you've never been up here, this is one of the really cool towns that still has an active and really well done downtown.
Yes, a very active, what you would call Main Street, but it's actually Bridge Street. Main Street's a few blocks away. Mm-hmm. And virtually no vacant storefronts for many years now. And again, a very healthy, adorable community. I first saw it when attending UW Eau Claire as a Cub reporter. One of my assignments was the Chippewa Falls City Council and the Chippewa County Board. And I always thought, oh, this is an adorable little place, having no idea that, you know, a few years later, I would end up moving here, buying a house here, putting down roots, representing, you know, the area in the legislature for the 28 years that I've been here. This is home. This is, we said that a lot the first couple of years here. We were just like, this is too good to be true. And, you know, it hasn't been. It's been everything you could want for a hometown.
Well, and that's why I really hope that people, if you're up early, you should listen live. And if not, listen to the podcast version, Up North News. That's one of the really valuable things, Pat, about having you at Up North News, part of Civic Media, is that you're not some person living in Los Angeles coming here on a satellite. You actually live here in this hometown. You're a part of the community for a long time. You've been a great reporter, a TV anchor, a legislator, and you bring that local knowledge, which is one of the main emphasis of Civic Media.
It really says something about, again, the decision to form the Civic Media Radio Network are these local voices, not just mine in the Chippewa Valley, but, you know, with Chad Holmes in Wausau and the connections and the people that he talks to. And now you have a new local show in Green Bay, Mino and the mayor. We have your connections to Richland Center. Yes, it's good to have things in Madison and Milwaukee and Waukesha. Of course it is. But the more that you can put together a truly statewide radio network with locally grown shows, with locally grown voices, you know, that can only be a good thing as the network continues to grow.
Yeah, and I think as we move, particularly into 2024, yes, you know, we do talk about national things, but it's that state news, that local news that hopefully we're really going to try to bring people the most direct
news to their community.
Well, it's because it's what matters. It's the appreciation I've always had for, say, the state legislature, the decisions that get made. Yeah, Congress gets all the attention, and people might care about their local school board or city council, but that state legislature affects lives in so many different ways. And as you and I both know, we've seen all manner of people come through. For me, it was seeing them inside that Senate Democratic caucus, which is what made today's story so interesting about Melissa Agard saying that she's going to step down as Senate Democratic leader to see, you know, which of these other Senate Democrats are going to try to lead that caucus maybe back to the majority, depending on how this gerrymandering case goes in the state Supreme Court.
What a pro. I don't know how to segue, but yeah, breaking news, not breaking, but big news today in Madison, Senate, a Democratic leader, Melissa Agard. And this is great for Dane County, I think, going to run for the Dane County executive position as Joe Parisi has announced he's stepping down, not going to run again. But, and I want to get your take on this as someone who was part of that Democratic Senate caucus for a while, as someone who was a member of the Republican Party for years and left in 2011, one of the things that I always thought, not everybody, but some Democrats in that caucus lacked was an astuteness and awareness of more rural Wisconsin. And I think one of the great gifts and talents of Senator Agard has been just that, and the way she has traveled the state and been inclusive and not made that caucus solely, and nothing wrong with representing urban areas, obviously, but she has truly, in my opinion, made that caucus inclusive.
Well, she understands, as any good legislator should, whatever your party, that you're not doing your job, and you're not going to be in power if you're focused solely on either your urban area or your rural area, that you need that full coalition. When we had the majority in from 2006 to 2010, again, it was stitched from districts all over northern and rural Wisconsin as well. Roger Bresky and Russ Decker and Bob Jouk and just so many others. And that's what Democrats will have to do again, is win back areas where they lost those Senate seats some time ago. And that's why, obviously, Senator Agard, she did a good job of having an appreciation for that. And now we have to find out from, we were the first ones to report, at Up North News, that there are three candidates, at least, who are going to run for that spot. There's Kelda Royce, who did get mentioned in the Journal Sentinel article this morning. But there's also Jeff Smith from right here in the Chippewa Valley is going to, as well as Diane Hasselbein from the Middleton area. Any one of those three also appreciates that if you want the majority back, you've got to be everywhere across the state to win back some of these districts.
And I think, as someone who would like to see more equal representation, here we are on the cusp. We'll find out soon if the Wisconsin State Supreme Court decides to redo the maps, and it could be all legislative seats up. And it seems like a particularly important time for this caucus to need real leadership at a time when they may be running all the Senate districts up in 2024.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is the next Democratic leader is going to have to be so focused on winning campaigns with good policy ideas. But later will come the time to try to get those policies into the budget, try to get those policies passed. But right now, you've got to be able to express what are the Wisconsin Democrats' priorities and why are they the better choice. And if they can do that with newly redrawn districts, then they have a real shot at winning over voters who've looked at Republicans for the past 12 years and said, where has this gotten us? Mm-hmm. It's gotten us the age of Trump, and it's gotten us the age of, Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and Ron Johnson trying to help overturn elections. That people will be more than open to hearing some new ideas and going in a new direction.
About a minute and a half or so left. It would seem, let's say that all the Senate districts are up. Let's just assume that for a second. We don't know that, but let's assume for the sake of argument. I look at a guy like somebody I'm familiar with in Southwest Wisconsin, Howard Markline, who's just been a schmuck in ignoring his constituents, in my opinion, in the closure of the UW-Richland campus. That seat, the 17th, my former boss's seat, is ripe for a Democrat. But there is a lot of work that goes into the right candidate recruitment and making sure the money is there. It's not just the new maps. You have to the right candidate. Are Democrats, in your opinion, ready for that challenge?
They can be. And let me make clear that I do not, Jeff Smith is a friend, but Diane Hasselbein would be an amazing Democratic leader. Kelda Royce would be an amazing Democratic leader. Jeff Smith, though, he won re-election in a district that leans Republican because he is so good at communicating Democratic or progressive values to a broader audience. So whether he gets elected or not, I think following his lead, communicating with the voters, is extremely pivotal.
Pat Kreitlow, every morning, Up North News. Have a great day, Pat. We appreciate you.
You bet.
We'll be back with more live from Chippewa Falls after
Happy
this.
Happy birthday, Heather.
On the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. The 7-day-long truce between Israel and Hamas is over. Israeli fighter jets are attacking Hamas targets in Gaza, and Hamas is claiming responsibility for shooting and killing three people at a bus stop in Jerusalem. CBS's Chris Livesay is in the city.
Hamas says this attack was at least partly inspired by a recent spate of killing, specifically of children, of minors in the Jenin refugee camp in the West Bank.
This could be his final day as a member of Congress for Republican George Santos, says CBS's Scott McFarlane.
It's unclear how many votes will show up on a Friday, but supporters of this measure say they're confident they have the votes.
California Governor Gavin Newsom and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis duked it out on the Fox News channel.
I thought this guy was running for president of the United States.
If you are too. You just won't admit it.
Why don't
you
just admit that you're running?
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A leadership race is underway in the Wisconsin State Senate. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard is leaving the legislature to run for Dane County Executive. Senators Jeff Smith and Diane Hesselbein tell Up North News they plan to run for the post. The Journal Sentinel reports Senator Keller Royce is also interested. A vote is expected by the end of the day on Friday. President Biden does better with likely voters in recent polls, while Donald Trump does better with less than likely voters, assuming that's the presidential matchup next year. Pollster Charles Franklin.
When we look at likely voters, Biden does a bit better. When we look at the less than likely voters, Trump does better with them.
Franklin spoke at a forum at Marquette University on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 33. Today, under cloudy skies, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 24. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids. You don't
know my garden. Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith, prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost.
So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Down Chippewa Falls. And if you're watching the stream, I moved the camera a little bit, and you can see right outside the window a beautiful wreath right there. A holiday wreath.
On both windows.
So it's they have the downtown here in Chippewa Falls is absolutely well done. It's beautiful. And again, if you haven't had a chance to get to Chippewa Falls, to Eau Claire, it is they call it the Chippewa Valley. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. And also, you know, Pat Kreitlow is a beautiful man. It's no wonder that he was on television. He has the hair. He has the complexion. He's still got it. And even though he's in radio, see, I'm a radio guy. I'm not a TV guy because I just don't have the looks. But Pat Kreitlow, he has both. He has the voice and the looks. And we appreciate Pat taking the time today to join us. Again, you can listen to Pat Kreitlow every morning on Up North News Radio from 6 until 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network, including right here in WCFW, The Tap, and also at WXCO, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, Wisconsin, and many others. So happy to have him. Happy to have him on the show today. Want to move on to this other piece of news in Wisconsin. Lots of Wisconsin news today. We like that here at Civic Media and the Todd Allball Show. Story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to launch a campaign for Wisconsin Supreme Court this week. In fact, today is when he plans to announce, or so he says, setting up an early challenge to the court's newly cemented liberal majority, according to a story here in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Jessie Opoyan, great reporter herself. A source close to Schimmel confirmed his plan to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Monday. The Waukesha County Circuit Judge has a special announcement, quote unquote, scheduled for tonight at Weldahl Manufacturing or Weldahl Manufacturing in Waukesha. Surprise, surprise, in Waukesha. His early entrance to the race sets him up as the front and first conservative challenger to liberal Justice Ann Walt Bradley, who is expected to seek a fourth 10-year term in 2025. The news was first reported by the conservative website Wisconsin Right Now. Schimmel, 58, was elected to lead the State Department of Justice in 2014 and lost his 2018 re-election bid to Democrat Josh Call by less than a percentage point the same year that Democratic Governor Tony Evers defeated Republican former Governor Scott Walker. Before leaving office, Walker appointed Schimmel to the Waukesha County Circuit Court. No other challengers have announced plans to run for the seat Bradley has held since 1995. Bradley, 73, a very healthy 73, I might add, told reporters in April when Liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz was elected that she plans to run again. Bradley fended off a challenge from Rock County Circuit Court Judge James Daly in 2015 with a 16-point victory margin. The challenge to the court's longest-serving member could upend the massive victory liberals secured in April with Protasiewicz's 11-point victory, which flipped the court's ideological majority for the first time in years. That race was the most expensive judicial contest in U.S. history. So here you have it. And this is fascinating to me for several reasons. First of all, I don't want to say I know Ann Walsh Bradley well. I don't. I know her. And for a couple of reasons. Number one, and as my friend Rob Wheat likes to say, there's always a Richland Center connection. Ann Walsh Bradley is from Richland Center. She's a Richland Center native. and myself, Richland Center native, very proud that we have Anne Walsh Bradley as a favorite daughter who has served distinguishedly, I might add, on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Anne Walsh Bradley not only is a great justice and she applies the law as written, she's also not afraid to take on nut jobs like former Wisconsin State Supreme Court Justice David Prosser, who David forgot to put the creamer in his coffee one morning, and he went into Justice Anne Walsh Bradley's chambers and he laid hands on her and he choked her. I'm not making this up. And they had to take David aside and say, David, it's time for you to go to a home. No, I'm not sure they did that. But the guy was just not stable. And it's unfortunate because he's a very normally meek, mild man, if you know David Prosser. He's not one to anger easily. He doesn't yell, really. But it got, because he was, as it turns out, there was a great story done by The Guardian on David Prosser and Scott Walker. And basically what happened on David Prosser's last term on Supreme Court, he didn't want to run again. He wanted to retire and just go live a peaceful life. And the Republican leadership, the party apparatus, basically went to Dave Prosser and gave him no choice and said, you are running. Because they needed his vote to save Scott Walker from a lot of legal trouble. And so Prosser was forced to run again and forced to serve another term, which he did not want to do, to save Scott Walker. And so, you know, as you might imagine, it caused a lot of pressure. And he chose to take it out on poor Anne Walsh Bradley, who was doing nothing. And he goes in and he tries to choke the woman. Well, she stood up for herself and fended him off. So I love Anne Walsh Bradley, not only for her judicial prudence, but also that she was able to fend off a nut job like David Prosser. And she's a great justice, and I wish her all the best in this forthcoming race. Again, not until 2025, by the way. Now, I said on the show yesterday that I had a Brad Schimmel story. And again, I don't know Brad Schimmel well at all. I probably ran into him at a couple of Republican events in the hall or whatever. Was never impressed. Never impressed. And again, I don't want to make this too much about me, but this was my encounter, you understand? As I've told on this program before, I left the Republican Party in 2011 after being inside a closed-door Republican Senate caucus meeting in which they were discussing the so-called voter ID bills at the time, which turned out to be voter suppression bills. And they admitted this in the caucus when the chairwoman of the Senate Election Committee at the time, Mary Lozick, stood up and said, hey, we better start thinking about this, what this means to places like Milwaukee and our college campuses. In other words, black and brown people and college kids suppressing their vote, who, you know, more often than not, tend to vote Democratic. My former boss, Dale Schultz, was the only person to speak up and raised his hand. He put his elbow on the table and he said, hey, maybe you ought to stop and think a minute what you just said and what we're saying here. And Glenn Grossman, now a U.S. congressman, at the time a state senator, turned his chair to Dale and he said, well, Dale, you know the Democrats would do the same thing to us if they were in power, so we better do it quick while we still can. And at that point, my boss turned his chair and he pointed at me and he said, you stay here, I'm leaving. And he walked out in protest. And I sat there for 90 minutes, 2 hours, listening to this drivel. And I said, this ain't what I signed up for. This is not what I spent nearly 30 years of my life trying to do. And that's what made me leave the party. So when Dale retired in January 2015, I went off to start a coffee business that I've been working on for years. And so I'm minding my own business in 2016-ish. And I get a call from this attorney named Josh Call, an attorney at the time. And he was the lead attorney on a lawsuit that was challenging some of these so-called voter ID bills, now law, that were nothing more than voter suppression. And what had happened was in 2016, in the primary, And a great guy, and I've told this before on the record, so it's fine. His name was Miguel Vega. And Miguel was, I think, 22-ish at the time, and had never voted before. And was really excited to vote for Bernie Sanders. And he went to vote, and he had a valid California, he was from California originally, had a valid California ID, and he went to the DMV to get his Wisconsin ID in order to have the legal ID to vote. But at the time, you had to have your birth certificate, not just a valid driver's license from another state, but your birth certificate, a passport, or a military ID. And this was like a day or two before the election. Well, who the hell knows where their birth certificate is? Most of us, right? So he couldn't vote. And I was so mad about this that I took to Facebook and I wrote a piece on Facebook just to vent and said, this is why I left the Republican Party. And I told the story. I had forgotten that some of the members of the press, the Capitol Press Corps, followed me on Facebook. And so my phone lights up or whatever. And this led to Josh Call then reaching out and saying, hey, we have this lawsuit challenging these laws, but we're missing one piece. It's intent. And we'd really appreciate if you would be willing to go on the stand under oath in a federal trial to talk about what you heard and saw. Well, I had to think about that, quite frankly. Because although I left the Republican Party, I still had people that I consider friends. And I knew full well, it's one thing to kind of write something on Facebook and leave the party. But to go on the stand under oath on a federal trial against a sitting governor, you're burning all your bridges in the party you used to have. So I called a friend of mine who I'd worked with in Congress and another staffer. And he then and still does work for the United States Department of Justice. And I kind of laid this out and I said, what should I do? And this guy is Ryan is one of the most upstanding, honest public servants I've ever known. And he said, Todd, I can't give you any sort of legal advice, but I know you. And he said, tell the truth. Just tell the truth. Not complicated. And I said, yeah, you're right. So I called Josh Call and I said, yeah, I'll do it. Knowing that that was the end of any sort of, Todd ever going back to the Republican Party. And that was fine. Because even in 2011, 2015, 2016, it no longer represented who I was. And so I go through the whole thing with Josh in several meetings, and we get to the trial day. And I'm the lead witness in this federal case, which I never thought about before, or never thought I'd be in. I'm the first person up. Federal Judge Peterson, by the way, a great judge, great federal justice judge, Judge Peterson. So we get there, and Schimmel, who is the attorney general who is defending Walker and the state at the time, he thinks this is such a slam dunk that he's not even going to be the lead attorney on this. He has one of his other minions do this, who I think Walker ended up appointing to a Dane County judge, if I'm not mistaken. And this kid gets up and he starts off and he says, Your Honor, it's our understanding Mr. Allball is going to get on the stand and simply give us hearsay. He's not even going to tell any name. He's not going to name any names. He doesn't even have the courage to give us any names. How can this be allowed into testimony? Judge says we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and hear from Mr. Allball. So I saw Josh out in the hall. I said, well, they're in for a surprise. He said, yep. So we get on the stand, take the oath, federal trial, lead witness. And this little schmuck attorney assistant attorney, starts questioning me. And Brad Schimble's in the room. And I'll tell you what happened on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location in beautiful Chippewa Falls, downtown WCFW, the Tap, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, 93.5 in the Chippewa Valley. Happy to be here on a Thursday, November 30th with you. Mr. Zomer's back at the world headquarters in Madison. Going to go to the phone lines in just a minute. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, you can download it on your favorite Apple or Android device today at your app store, the Civic Media app. So I didn't mean to leave you on a cliffhanger, or maybe I did. Some of the best stories are cliffhangers, right? So I'm telling this story because Brad Schimble has announced, he is a former Republican Attorney General for Wisconsin, says he is announcing today that he is going to run against Ann Walsh Bradley for Supreme Court in 2025. And I want to finish up this story that, again, to bring you up to date, I had witnessed this closed-door meeting of Republican senators and how they crafted the so-called voter ID bills, which were in reality voter suppression, and Josh Call, who is then an attorney, now he's the Wisconsin Attorney General, was the lead attorney in going up against then Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimble, who is defending the law, the state, and Walker. And Schimble didn't think this was that big of a case, and so he was not going to be the lead attorney. He was letting one of his minions do it. Schimble is just sitting there in the room. And one of his minion starts off by telling Judge Peterson, Federal Judge Peterson, that Mr. Allball is not going to name names. He's just going to come up and give his hearsay. So we take the break, we go back on the stand. I'm the lead witness of a federal trial going up against the Walker administration in the state of Wisconsin on voter ID. And Josh Call starts, you know, I say, well, I got involved in the Republican Party at age 12 as a volunteer. And I started telling my whole story. And at one point, this is fantastic. Judge Peterson says, Mr. Call, can we maybe speed things up? We have 200 and some odd witnesses to get through, and I hope each one doesn't start at the age of 12. Which I thought was great by Peterson, Judge Peterson. And so we sped up to the events that I was there to testify about. But he was trying to establish my credibility, that this was a big deal for me, that this was just not something I was coming to lightly, that I had been a product of the Republican Party since 12, and to come on a witness stand on a federal trial and to testify against them was not an easy or quick decision. And so Josh Call says, Mr. Allball, can you tell us? I started telling him what happened. And then he said, can you tell us who said those things? And I looked right at Brad Schimmel, and I said, State Senator Mary Lozick, State Senator Glenn Grothman, State Senator, and I just started going right through the list of people who were in that room who were giddy about taking people's voting rights away. And Brad Schimmel and his team's face turned about three sheets of white. Someone in their research, Schimmel or one of his minions, had gone, and I have a suspicion of a couple of people it might have been, people who I used to work with or at least were friendly with the Capitol, who thought they knew me. And they went and they said, well, Allball's going to be on the stand. I mean, he's really not going to betray the Republican Party. And these people must have said, no. I mean, Todd's a little ticked off, but, you know, he's not actually going to, you know, betray the party. Those people do not really know me. And neither did Brad Schimmel. And Brad Schimmel is a lightweight who doesn't do his homework, who is a yes man for the right-wing MAGA party, who has no business representing Wisconsin on the U.S. Supreme Court. So know who Brad Schimmel is before you consider supporting him or voting for him, in contrast to my fellow Richland Center native, Ann Walsh Bradley, who has done an outstanding job in jurisprudence and applying the law as written. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phone lines. And who do we have here? I believe it is Jack in Merrimack. Is that correct? I lost my train of thought.
That's correct.
Yes, Jack from Merrimack. Thanks for holding my friend. What say you?
I hate that when my train of thought gets derailed. Anyway, this needs to be broadcast much more than it is. Basically, somebody absolutely needs to make people aware of this fact. The Republican Party is setting out to disenfranchise as many people as possible, first of all. And the second thing is, if they get into national office again and they hold the entire government like they did previously, my personal opinion, we will never, ever again see an honest, legal, democratic election in this country, at least not within my lifetime. Of course, I'm an old guy, but I'm talking decades probably.
Yeah.
But
I agree with you on that, Jack. And that is, again, that is why I left the Republican Party. You know, I'm not a one issue person traditionally, but there is a line I have, and trying to take someone's, and not just trying, but succeeding in taking away someone's constitutional rights is a red line for me.
And
this party has not improved. And by the way, to bring the story to a conclusion, Judge Peterson threw out most of those laws. He said, I'd throw out voter ID if I could, but the U.S. Supreme Court has spoken on that, so I can't do that. But Schimmel lost almost the entire case. Not just because of me. There are a lot of other more important people that testified in that case. But Schimmel is a schmuck. He is incompetent in terms of lawyering and knowing what to do. He would be a terrible Supreme Court justice.
Yeah, that's another matter entirely. We have to keep people like that off our Supreme Court. We have to keep people in the Supreme Court who will work for what I would say is an honest interpretation of the law instead of something that is totally politically motivated. And we've got people in that court right now, at least a couple of whom decided, well, the Republicans lost the 2020 election, but we're going to give it to them anyway. I mean, that's essentially what they said when they agreed with the lawsuit to overturn the election.
Appreciate it, Jack. I really appreciate the call. Thanks so much, Jack and Merrimack. Stay tuned. Hour number two on location from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. WCFW, the tap in the Chippewa Valley. Don't go anywhere. Hour two of the Todd Allball Show is next on Civic Media.
locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The seven-day truce between Israel and Hamas is now over. Details from the BBC's Ann Foster in southern Israel.